Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hello everyone, welcome to
Hi. The
episode.
Oh my gosh.
What are these episodes called?
Tiny ones, tiny chats, mini chats.
Are we? Because at least in uploading, I don't call them minisodes. What are we calling them?
I have no idea.
I just didn't say we're hanging out.
I like a hangout. A kickback.
Yeah, we're hanging out. We're kicking back. We are not chained to Glee for this episode. We're chained to the rhythm and we're chained to our love for each other.
But that's true.
Nothing more and nothing less.
The bonds of our friendship and rhythm binds us.
To the rhythm. Hello, my name is Ian Allred. I am a Gleek. That is true. I am chained to that. Ah! But right now, I'm free of that label. Right now, I'm just a person in the world. I'm just a
citizen
of planet Earth.
It's one of those when you take your dog on a walk and it has like an extender thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, mm-hmm. we're still bound, but... Oh
yeah,
I'm allowed to run a little further.
Yeah, Ryan Murphy has loosed it just a bit.
Thanks, Ryan Murphy.
And what's your name? Who are you?
I'm Lena. Oh my god!
Wow, incredible.
And I am a Gleek. I'm also Ryan Murphy's got me in a chokehold. I can't help it.
But he's pressed. When you press the button, I don't have a dog. When you press the button, does it tighten the leash?
Me neither. May he rest in peace. So it's like a there. Oh, he left. He left the chat. It's like there. It's a the button stops it from extending. So. But there's like a switch you can push. I'm sorry.
No, that's your prerogative, babe. His fingers off the button. It just was very honestly.
I know, jarring. No, I apologize.
It was a very good joke. It was very well timed.
Oh,
I applaud it. I respect it. I just don't. I just didn't know how to continue.
How do you react?
The metaphor in that moment.
I hear you, and I apologize.
Do not apologize, babe.
I know. So yeah, and then there's like sometimes I only ever had.
We just blown past it.
I mean, I feel bad. I feel like all I do is cry on this podcast. Do you know what I mean?
That's your prerogative, baby.
And I'm sure it's like fine, but is it like fine? So I feel bad. And I also, you know, so for those who don't follow me on Instagram, my 16-year-old dog did pass away this last week, and that's what that's about. I love him very much. He was my angel. And once upon a time, we did have one of those. But then it broke, so we stopped using it.
Yeah.
One of those meaning the chains that Ryan Murphy has us on.
The leash extenders. Wow. Yeah, goodness. If you want to take a beat. No, literally do not apologize. I'm saying if you want to take a beat, if you want to chat, we can. If you want to not, we do not need to.
I think I'm good at leaving it there.
Cool. Okay. Well,
welcome to our kickback.
Here we are. Do we want to kick off our activity for the week?
Let's do it. I saw a video of Brittany Broski on her podcast going through her cafe astrology, and she was just being funny and cute about it. And I sent it to Ian. I said, thoughts about for our hangout? No pressure, obviously, just for fun. Because astrology is one of those things that I personally enjoy very much. I don't know how much I like, you know, quote unquote, believe in it. But I think it is like a fun thing. And like, you know, God, what would it be like to know myself a little better? Anything that can help me do that, like, sounds pretty slay to me. And I also like to use it as kind of a, I think I've said this before, like a litmus test for people sometimes when it's like, I ask people like when their birthday was and I'll say, oh yeah, you're a Gemini. And they go, ugh, I'm not a Gemini. I go, okay, so we can't riff. We can't like hang in this way. And that's okay. That's okay. But sometimes it's like, I like the idea of like, you know, talking about it in like a fun way. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes people can put too much stock into it, but I'm here for a good fucking time. You know what I mean?
You also have said, I think about it all the time, the way that you talk about astrology, which is, like you said, you don't know how much you believe in it, but then also you do think there is weight to, like, how old were you in all of these seasons of your life? Like, at what point of life did you experience your first winter? Where in your grade growing up, were you on the older side? Were you on the younger side? Like, all of that stuff does have an effect on people.
I think that does something to a person. I think, you know, I don't know about the moon, but I love her. And I do feel like sometimes I read into things and I'm like, oh, what?
No, continue your thought.
No. What are we getting?
We're getting a second moon.
A binary moon?
Yeah. Did you hear about
this? Are you kidding?
Like, me saying a second moon is the clickbait version. What's actually happening is like some meteor is passing and it's going to get close enough in Earth's orbit that it will look like we have two moons for a beat. But we're not actually
we're gonna pick a second moon.
Yeah, we're like, we're just like,
we don't
like,
get to keep it.
It's like staying in our guest house. It's just passing through. It's in town for a few days and we're going to say hi, second moon.
Oh my gosh.
We're on Tatooine. Aww. Tatooine has two suns, not two moons.
Two suns.
Scratch that. And then we'll send
kind of like Tatooine.
Yeah. Just the opposite.
Tatooine.
We're on Tatooine for just, I honestly don't know how long it's happening for. Second moon Earth. It already happened.
You literally kidding me? I missed the second moon. I didn't even know. That actually makes me emotional. I think I might cry.
Hold up. It might still be happening.
I was just looking for a win. I just wanted to win. You promised me a binary moon.
I'm so sorry.
You said the moon was going to stay in our guest house.
No, don't worry. Don't worry. It will remain in our orbit until November 25th. It's still here. We still have Moon 2, which is officially called 2024 PT5. Personally, I think Moon 2 is a better name. Or Toon.
Moon 2. They need to go back to the drawing board on that. Toon.
Seriously, 2024 PT5. So who named this? Elon Musk and Grimes? My gosh.
No, seriously.
There's no way for small telescopes to see this mini moon. It's far too small, about the size of a bus. Oh, well, then we can't even see it.
No.
Only the world's largest telescopes can detect it, or a very long exposure is required. You know what? Moon 2 sucks. I take everything back. Moon 2 is dumb, and I wish it would leave today. Don't kick around. Fish and visitor stink after 3 days, Moon 2. Get out of our orbit. If we can't see you, get out.
Size of a bus? Smells like Miss Frizzle to me.
Seriously, she's up there. You know Arnold is like, oh, please let this be a normal field trip. Nah, dude, you're going to be Moon 2 for a month
and a half. Not with the frizz.
Not with the frizz. With the frizz, no way.
And your parents can't even see your ass either. Nor fans of the moon like me.
We just got really excited, then really sad, and then excited again, and then disappointed. And if that's not a metaphor for this thing we call life, I don't know.
What's that quote She-Hulk? That's like, at first it was fun, and then it was kind of spooky in a fun way.
I don't know what that is. What?
Scrap it. I'll send you a clip later. Who cares? Speaking I can't of, explain speaking, memes.
Speaking of She-Hulk, you finally watched Agatha All Along.
Oh, boy, howdy, did I watched it all on Saturday, and oh my God, Catherine Hahn, let's get married. Aubrey Plaza, let's get married. Those two together, may I be in your couple as a make your couple a throuple. But I'm very much enjoying it. I'm having a really good time. Also, Patty fucking LuPone, I love that bitch. She is funny as hell.
Also, Sasheer from Sasheer? SNL.
Sasheer
Zamata. She... I like... Every once in a while, I will have just like a pet cast member on SNL who's someone that doesn't, I feel like doesn't get their due. And every time they have a sketch, I'm like, you got this. And Sasheer was one of my pet cast members. She was like the end of high school, beginning of college for me.
Yeah.
And I just love her so much. And I'm so happy to see her doing big things.
And she is funny as fuck in this too. When Agatha's like, what instruments do you play? What instruments do you play? And then she goes, ballet. And then she goes, I actually can't leave the circle. Oh my God. So fun. Oh, I can't wait to see more.
The other, you see, what could make this show better, speaking of Sasheer Zamata, is if we also had another witch on it who's played by Nassim Pedrad, another SNL alum.
Oh, another
who I
one.
I felt like did not get her due. Her sketch, they
wasn't
only
she
did
only
it...
on for like one season as well?
No,
I really
was
liked
on
her.
On for a while. Nassim Pedrad was on for a while, and that's what was sad to me is she just like, they'd bring her out to be Kim Kardashian, and that was kind of it. Her sketch from the Christopher Walls episode, where she plays a character named Tippy, who's at an office party and keeps trying to fit in with everyone by guessing the end of their stories, but guesses the most ridiculous endings possible, is one of my all-time favorites. I love it.
I don't even know that
so
one.
Much. No one does, and it's a shame because it is a gold standard SNL sketch in my book. So put Nassim Pedrad on Agatha All Along. I'll be seated. I love her. When's she going to get her moment? I was hoping it was going to be Aladdin, but hot take, that movie was bad. And so it wasn't Aladdin. I was also hoping it was going to be Mulaney, and then that show got canceled after one season. You know what was her moment, though, for real? Speaking of Ryan Murphy, with season one of Scream Queens, she was so funny
she
on
was
that
so
show.
Funny.
Oh, my goodness.
Shout out to Nassim.
We're hosting a white party where everyone is encouraged to wear/be white. She's so funny in that show.
Did you ever watch New Girl? She's good in that.
Oh, that's right. She is in New Girl. I forgot about that.
Yeah, she is.
I'd love to see more of her. That's all I'm saying.
Also, our angel.
Emma Caulfield? Is this who we're talking about?
Yeah. Yes, this is who we're talking about.
Where's she? She was in episode one and I was like, oh, good. She's back. Everybody buckle up. And then she hasn't been in it since. And honestly, I don't think we'll be in it again until maybe the finale.
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not. I was like, when she wasn't in the set, when they like left Springfield, where the hell are they?
Westview.
Sorry. I was like, oh, fuck. We're never going to get her back.
I know.
And I mean... That show is always blue-balling me with her. That show meaning WandaVision as well. Like, don't you know we love her? I want to see her on my TV.
She's an icon. And it is a crying shame that she's not a witch.
I know.
And I still hope against hope that she is. Even though, like, storytelling-wise, at this point, it wouldn't really make sense. But I'm like, but you know, You never know.
I'm very much enjoying it. Looking forward to it. And also the costumes. Oh my God. Also Aubrey Plaza. Oh my God. Please be my wife.
Yeah. I'm seeing a movie with her in it tonight.
We're not wives. Are you seeing
my old ass?
Whatever the fuck it's called.
No, is she in Megalopolis? Is she in Megalopolis?
Oh boy, howdy, she is in Megalopolis. I haven't seen that shit yet, but I am gonna see it. Yes. She's got bleach blonde hair.
Where have I been? I am seeing my old ass tonight. And here's how mentally sick I am. Is I literally thought for like a week that the tagline of that movie, because I saw the poster and I read the tagline, and this is what my brain processed it as, was, would you date your older self? And I was like, finally a movie about the hypothetical that Lena and I always talk about. The tagline is fully, what would you ask your older self? But for like, I saw the poster and was like, would you date your older self? Check. That's what it says. And the next time I saw
and
a movie.
And you said, oh, thank God.
I said, finally, so we're having a conversation about this. Finally, some real, Hollywood's asking the real questions. They're really examining the human experience. And then the next time I went to see a movie, I went, why'd they change the poster? That's not what I used to say.
They actually changed the whole premise. It was crazy.
They rewrote the movie. You know,
the whole, rewrote the whole movie. They got some major pushback from people who would rather kill themselves than like fuck themselves. You know what I mean? They said, we gotta put an end to this. They changed the whole movie. I also
crazy.
Think that, I think she's a teenager. I think the younger self is a teenager.
I didn't know that. I have not seen the trailer. I've only seen the poster. I literally saw the poster and said, Aubrey Plaza dating herself. Good. I'm in. I didn't know.
I would watch Aubrey Plaza date herself.
I know nothing else. I don't know the premise besides the obvious, like, one of them is the older version of the other.
Right.
So I washed my hands of anything because I know nothing and I'm going in blind and I'm fully anticipating that they're both legal adults and that they will be dating by the end of it.
Well, oh, I hope for that for you. I do. I think I've never seen the show because everyone says it's total, like, dog shit. Peace and love if you enjoy this show. I haven't seen it. The is it Time Traveler's Wife TV show?
I don't know.
Well, it was like on HBO like 2 years ago, I think. But that was a movie. Well, it was a book and then it was a movie and then they turned it into an HBO TV show. Mm-hmm. And word on the street is there's a pretty intense scene between the time traveler and himself. Like sucking himself off. I haven't seen it, but I've heard legend. But I've heard the show is like actually really terrible, but that was pretty fun, I guess.
Oh my God, I haven't seen it.
I know.
That's crazy.
I know.
Also, is this the movie with like Bill Weasley in it, or am I thinking of In Time? I might be thinking of no, I'm not. That's the Justin Timberlake one. No, that's the Justin Timberlake one.
But you're talking about.
There's too many movies about time travelers and their relationships. Mm-hmm. The Rachel McAdams is the time traveler's wife. I haven't seen that one. What's the Bill Weasley
one? Yeah, but Rachel McAdams is also in Bill Weasley.
What?
And I think that's just in time.
What?
It's a beautiful movie if you haven't
about
seen
about
it.
Time.
About time. Yes,
which
yes.
Is
excuse
good,
me.
Which is a very good movie.
And Rachel McAdams is in that, dog.
You're right. She is in that. Whoa. She's like, what's her face? Oh my gosh. I love her. What's her name? Who always plays the stepsister in Cinderella movies?
Oh yes.
Oh my
totally.
Gosh. We're She's in
Into the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
Ella. Enchanted.
I'm going to find her name. It's Lucy Punch. I would like everyone to know that I remembered that before it popped up on Google. She is the Lucy Punch of women in a relationship with time travelers.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
About time. God, that movie is so good.
Dang, Rachel McAdams. Crazy.
I love her.
Crazy.
Oh no.
Remember when a reporter asked Rachel McAdams if she was going to attend the premiere of the Mean Girls musical movie and she said no? And they asked her why and she said, I'm busy.
She slayed for that.
That's my favorite thing that's I'm ever busy. Happened. I'm obsessed with that. I'm busy.
Like, I'm sure in her mind, she's like, I'm not in that movie.
Seriously, she's like, it's based on a movie I made 20 years ago, and I'm not in this version. I don't care.
I do love that she was there to introduce Renee Rapp on SNL, though.
Yes, yes, that was
and with
lovely.
Megan, oh my God, that makes me cry. I respect that she's busy, though. I love you, Rachel McAdams.
And with Megan.
Megan
oh, the
stallion.
Because they did It's Not My Fault. I'm here. I've caught up. She's busy. She has to travel time with her husband.
Oh.
Obviously.
And it's intense.
She can't go to movie premieres. I respect it. Good for her.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur einen Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
All right, you want to do this birth chart reading? Do you want to learn about ourselves
yeah,
and each
let's
other?
Let's do it.
Hey.
I think we should, if we have time, we can do more, but like sun, moon, rising, and maybe Venus would be fun, and maybe Mars if we have time.
Sure. Slay. A lot of those words, I didn't know what they meant. I know sun, moon, rising. I don't remember what they mean, but I know them.
We're on cafeastrology.com.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have you go first. Okay, meaning so I will read.
Okay. We're reading each other's charts, by the way.
Quick overview. Yes, just for fun. So the other one can react and give funny commentary and such.
Wonderful.
Catch my drift? Okay, so you are your sun, we knew this, Gemini.
Hey, don't worry
it out. Your rising, we knew this, Libra.
Hey, don't worry it out.
Your moon was surprising to me.
Is it?
I think I had thought it was something else. It's Pisces. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Hey, don't wear it out.
Hey, I'll never wear it out. Oh, and your Mercury is in Gemini. Hey.
Heck yeah.
And your Venus is in Taurus.
I'm your Venus.
Can't wait to read about that. Your Mars is in Leo. My Mars is in Leo.
Hey.
Hey. And that's all we'll talk about for today's episode. That's all I feel qualified to tackle.
Okay.
And by qualified to tackle, I mean read Cafe Astrology word for word.
Yes, got it.
God,
they really do.
Don't wear it out.
Every single planet on here plus Pluto. What? Oh, I guess that makes sense. It's like where the whole solar system was. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, I got
totally.
You.
Okay. Are you ready? Here's your sun. The sun represents vitality, a sense of individuality, and outward shining creative energy. Your sun is in Gemini. With the sun in Gemini, the urge for self-expression is strong.
True.
These natives are often just and interested in collecting information as they are just as interested in collecting information as they are in sharing it. Curious True. To a fault, Geminis have a finger in every pie. Solar Geminis are flexible and changeable people. Their ability to adapt quickly to new situations generally gains them plenty of friends and social contacts. Usually quite clever and witty, Geminis enjoy intellectual conversations and they are easily bored if not sufficiently mentally stimulated. Often quite adept at fitting in with others, Geminis easily adopt the moods of those around them. They are friends with people from all walks of life, and they are not easily intimidated. Their ability to detach themselves can make Geminis quite objective and observant, but a little difficult to get close to. Yee. Although...
This is getting spooky.
Although they often have many friends, intimacy doesn't come as easily to solar Geminis. It is not always easy to know what Gemini truly feels at any given moment. They are often very impersonable and scattered. There is usually a nervous air to Geminis that can make more personal characters a little uneasy. It is not always intuitive to trust Geminis to be loyal or to keep secrets. Geminis often flit about, moving quickly and keeping busy at every step of the way. Many people with this position in the sun have gained quite a bit of knowledge in their lifetimes, but they don't always seek specialized or in-depth knowledge. This is because Geminis have a relatively short attention span and are happy to know a little bit about everything. Restlessness is easily common with this position of the sun. Usually quite affable, Geminis enjoy the light side of life. This tendency to take things lightly makes them quite pleasing to be around. It's true that it can be maddening to people who seek support on a deeper level in life. However, Geminis are both interesting and interested. They're always ready to help. Their wit can be dazzling and their changeability sometimes dizzying. Gemini will seldom bore you. Short description, she is an opportunity. I'm sorry, I put she.
Oh.
Sorry to misgender you on the cafe astrology. He is an opportunist. He can express himself easily and tends to learn quickly. He is welcoming and gentle. He likes to travel and likes intellectual work. Weaknesses, a changeable and diffuse nature. They may waste energy by taking on too many things. They lack persistence in achieving set goals.
All the good stuff was accurate. None of the bad stuff was. That was all false.
Hey, I hear you.
What can I say? No. The only thing that I was like, that doesn't feel right to me personally, is I think I'm a very good secret keeper. When someone tells me something and they don't want me to tell someone else, I genuinely don't.
Oh, totally.
But besides that,
you lock that shit down.
Yeah, it's a bear trap. But besides that, yeah. I'm hard to get close to. I am uncomfortable being intimate with people. What was the other stuff that was like the other?
You're a really intellectual person. You like to learn a lot.
Yes, thank you. I get bored very easily. That's accurate.
Mm-hmm. You like to, I feel like you know a lot about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And that makes you like really easy to talk to.
Finger meat pie, babe.
Where you're like, oh, I can talk Marvel with you. I can talk musicals with you. I can talk Glee with you. Anything. Oh.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Fingies in the pies. Hell yeah.
You ready to hear about your Libra son?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Oh, I'll tell you like your whole shebang like you did. Here's your planets. Who? Your zodiac? It says tropical. I don't know what that means, but ooh.
Oh, what does yours say? Yours is tropical too.
Hey, two tropicals.
I don't know what that means.
Okay, literally. Sun, Libra. Moon, Taurus. Mercury, Virgo. Venus, Leo. Mm-hmm. Mars, also Leo. Here we go. Buckle up, baby. Let me find where I'm supposed to be. Here we go. Okay, the sun. Your sun is in Libra. Libra natives are considered sociable, somewhat intellectual souls. They have an almost innocent way about them that makes them very approachable. Generally quite eager to cooperate, Librans spend much of their time trying not to rock the boat. In theory, Libras are peace-loving. In practice, they can quietly stir up all sorts of trouble with their ways. Because Libra enjoys balance in their lives, they seek the middle ground. In the process, they may end up trying to be everything to everyone. This is where their reputation for untruthfulness might originate. Generally, their untruths spring from a true desire for peace and fairness. Although they may not be comfortable with direct and malicious trickery, they feel totally justified when they lie to avoid making waves. Peace at any price. People involved with Libras may complain about their lack of directness and apparent inability to take a stand. However, they're genuinely concerned and always ready to bring more harmony to their world. Librans are experts at avoiding being the ones to blame. When confronted, they'll calmly and reasonably say, "What, me? No, I just want peace." On the fence, middle ground, middle road, these are all expressions that can safely associate with Libra. In truth, without Libra, life simply wouldn't be as fair. Librans are known for comparing and thinking in relative terms instead of absolutes. This weekend is not just a good weekend, it's better than last weekend. They're always looking for the best way or the right way to live. Harmony is the ultimate goal, but their idealism and high expectations can mean plenty of discontent. Since life presents us with countless choices, if Libra doesn't learn to live in the moment, at least some of the time, they'll be in a constant state of unrest. Society needs rules, and these rules attempt to bring justice, equality, and fairness. On an individual level, Libra represents these laws of civilization. Libra is very civilized, kind, concerned, and refined. She has a great need to be part of a group because I didn't misgender you. She likes to mix with people and seeks partnerships. She likes and respects justice. She approves of society's values. She is level-headed and assimilates quickly. Weaknesses: can be indecisive. She's frivolous. A dilettante in love. I don't know what that means. She is easily swayed by group pressure. Libra. Oh, and then this next thing is the next bit. Let me look up with a dilettante. I don't know how to pronounce that. Is it is a person who cultivates an area of interest such as the arts with real commitment or knowledge. So they are very interested in love, and they try and cultivate love.
That feels right. That's interesting though about the untruthfulness, and I feel like in some ways I see that being true, where I will like really avoid saying things to like hurt someone's feelings, or if it's going to like rock the boat in a certain way. I don't know that I would, I'm more like tactfully evade. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I lie. I've been like, and I think this is just maybe, I've been like caught in lies before that have like majorly scarred me. So I'm like, I don't lie anymore. I can't do that, you know? Because like being found out like that, like as a liar, is I think a core wound. But that feels right, especially like I would like even like going to work. I'm like I can't. I'd rather do anything than rock the boat. I'd rather never say a word to anyone ever than risk any sort of dislike of me, dislike of the situation. Like I definitely want to be like a supportive person in a lot of situations.
Okay.
Let's hear about your ascendant, shall we?
Yes. What does that mean? Is that moon? What does ascendant mean?
So ascendant is your rising sign.
Oh, great. I gotcha. We're good. Mm-hmm. That's just such a fancy word. I thought it was something new.
Not new. They just use a fancy word for it. Okay. Give it to me. Okay. Gemini with ascendant Libra. Okay. You have a great urge to go farther or deeper into life into life every step of the way. You want to experience more, and your desires are both powerful and intense. It's hard for you to find satisfaction in common experiences. You have a magnetic power if you choose to use it wisely. You are fascinated with what lies under the surface, and at some point in your life, self-improvement is a big interest.
The look you shot at me. Well,
I just remember that era. I remember that era.
That's all wrong. None of that's happened.
Sorry, that really.
That was really. Wow.
Sorry, excuse me. I apologize. You are attracted to unexplored or taboo areas, and you avoid all things superficial. Financial problems may ease after marriage. Slay.
It's like marry rich, please.
Yeah, please marry rich. Your stars are like, please. Key points. He has grit and staying power and talent with handling others' resources. He can be intense, secretive, or obsessive with a strong belief in powers of transformation, growth, and improvement. A natural psychologist.
Slay. This is like, maybe I do believe in the stars, you know? I mean, I've never thought that like astrology was bunk. I just have never been like, I need to read my horoscope to see, you know, like what the future holds for me. But
totally.
I'm liking this.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, I see where you read to. Okay. So your ascendant, as we know, is Gemini because we're the inverse of each other, and that's why
we're the inverse of each other.
Neither can live while the other survives.
While the other survives. That's why we actually we're recording this apart. We can't be together.
We can't literally the universe we will explode. It's like when you try to put two magnets together, that's what happens. Yeah. We just repel each other and everything around us.
Yeah, it gets bad.
It's crazy. Okay. You want to be noticed for your unique and special qualities and your creativity. You are happiest when expressing yourself in a special way, and attention comes your way as a result. You have a flair for drama and or sports. You are proud of your fun.
I love sports.
One thing I know about you is sporty spice over here. Booyah, booyah, baby. It said and or. You are proud of your fun-loving attitude toward life. Advice. As you demonstrate your ability to shine, avoid grabbing center stage all the time. Your happy disposition is enough to get noticed, but do find creative ways to express yourself, as this is the path to true happiness for you. Key points. She's competitive, creative, fun-loving, generous, affectionate, and loyal. She seeks appreciation.
That's true.
Hey, and I appreciate you.
You know what? I am not competitive at all. Maybe with like job stuff, with like theater stuff, I get creative there. But my mind, when I hear competitive, immediately goes to board games. And here's where my Libra comes in. I would rather everyone have a good time. So for my birthday, we played a bunch of board games and we were playing phase 10 at a certain point. And you know, phase 10.
Yeah.
But literally, it was like me and my siblings and a few friends. And we literally like, okay, I've got a 7. Who needs a 7? And one of the people who was there, they were like, why are you doing that? I was like, I'd rather everyone smile. Like, I don't want anyone to be upset.
And this is why we can't be in the same room.
Exactly. And I mean, I can play with competitive people. And I can take that in stride, but like if it's my birthday, we're gonna cheat at phase 10.
Yeah, and I respect it. And I respect it.
Okay. All right, let's hear about your moon. The moon represents the emotional responses, unconscious, predestination, and the self-image. The moon represents the emotions, and the moon sign shows how a person expresses themselves when at home, at ease, and comfortable.
So sun is like what I push into the world, and moon is like that poster from elementary school that it's like character is who you are when no one's watching. That's my moon.
Oh, exactly.
Got it.
Okay. Your moon is in Pisces. Lunar Pisceans are known to be dreamy and not always in touch with reality. However, though these people may not always show real world savvy in day to day. That's just like such an interesting way to call someone not show real world savvy. Like, that's so mean.
I've noticed
though
they,
she's
like, really
dumb.
They really put on kid gloves with these, mm-hmm. where they're like trying to say in the nicest way possible.
Oh, totally.
It's like, though you're a little bit of an airhead sometimes, so you don't really know how the world works. You don't know real world.
Though
savvy.
You're a liar and a vapid bitch, take a step back.
Though you
like, just
push
say it to my face.
Everyone away who tries to get close to you. You are interesting. One thing about you is you are interesting.
Though you're poor now, maybe get a husband and you can
maybe
not
consider
be not poor.
Marrying a rich man.
Cafe Astrology, I am a rich man.
I am a rich man, bitch.
That was so crazy. Anyway, oh, back to them calling you dumb. I don't agree. However,
oh, I do, actually. Like, real world, I think I'm an intelligent person, but real world savvy, like, just being able to, so many things I have to call my parents and be like, how do I do this?
And that is D&D, that's intelligence and wisdom.
Yeah,
you know what
exactly,
I mean?
Exactly.
All right. let's, while these people may not show real world savvy in day-to-day practical affairs, they make up for this with remarkable intuition. They can put themselves into anybody's shoes with extreme ease. On the plus side, this endows them with remarkable compassion and love. The downside of this apparent ability to break down boundaries is they can easily lose themselves in the suffering of others. Their sense of humor is delightfully silly and a bit odd. There are prospective souls who seem to be in touch with all the nuances and subtleties of human nature. Often this comes through in a strong sense of humor that is more of the receptive kind than the type of sense of humor that would make people the quote unquote life of the party. It's generally pretty easy to get them giggling. Moon and Pisces people may get tagged as spaced out, but there's much more to them than meets the eye. They feel things out and rely on their intuition. It just doesn't feel right for them to do otherwise. Their dreaminess can mean plenty of moments of absent-mindedness. These times of oblivion can land them in all sorts of predicaments with others who can too easily misunderstand these complex souls. Without plenty of space and time to daydream, Pisces moons easily get overloaded with life. Give them room to be alone with themselves, and they're generally able to take on the world, even if their style is not always conventional or understandable when they do so. Generally considered soft-hearted and sweet, lunar Pisceans care about others and are easily touched by human suffering. This tendency gains them the reputation as suckers for sob stories. Although this may sometimes be true, many lunar Pisceans learn in their lifetimes how to discern between sincerity and manipulation. Still, they definitely do have a plenty of soft corners. In personal relationships, lunar Pisceans are giving and yielding. They are generally open on a sexual level, quietly. Their fantasies can be far-reaching, intricate, and rich with emotion. Love is closely tied with their sexuality. Most lunar Pisceans are shy. They need a trustworthy lover to bring them out. There's a delightful accepting side to Moon in Pisces that is sometimes mistaken for weakness. Most Pisces moons are people instinctively know when they're due for a much needed recharge. It's at these times that they retreat from the world and its harsh realities, only to gather the strength to face everything and everyone again. Solitude is important to them, but they also need people, so their retreats will usually be short-lived. Pisces moon individuals believe, and let's face it, the world needs Piscean leaps of faith. Short description, imaginative, sharp insights. He is impressionable with abundant imagination, gentle, warm, humorous, artistic. Potential issues, trouble caused by too much sensitivity, worries, problems, unhealthy imagination, escapism, and nervousness.
Okay. That, while you were reading it, I did feel like that section was the least on the nose so far. But then when you
Which
did,
one?
Just like the Pisces moon, like that, of what we've read.
Oh, yeah, I hear you. Yes.
But then when you read the like simplified version at the end, that did feel true. Mm-hmm. And there were things in the long one that I was like, oh, specifically like the need for solitude, the need to like be alone. I remember like in college, the entirety of college from ages 18 to 24, I never had my own room for more than like 2 months. And it knocked my mental health so bad. And I got along like literally one of my roommates from college, my longest roommate, I visited him last week because we are still such good friends. But just like not being able to be by myself would drive me crazy. There were still things that I was like, and like I said, the simplified thing at the end did feel pretty spot on.
I hear that.
Yeah. You want to hear about your Taurus moon?
Slay. I sure do.
Well, I'll tell you about it. Familiarity is important to lunar Taurians. These people are earthy and strong-willed. They feel with their senses, and they are pretty much rooted in their ways. They revel in material comforts. In fact, building a solid and comfortable home and foundation helps to keep them feeling safe and content. It isn't wise to try to push lunar Taurians into doing anything, but once they have committed, they're persevering. There's a steadiness to this position of the moon that is comforting to those close to them. But the conservative streak in these natives can be maddening to more progressive personalities. They tend to go out of their way to avoid messy or unpredictable situations, crises, and emotional displays. Instead, they focus on creating a reliable and secure life around them. In relationships, lunar Taurians may not easily recognize their partner's need for change, growth, or emotional stimulation. However, moon and Taurus natives are generally very romantic. Their affections are strong, deep, and unwavering. They are sentimental and warm. Since Taurus is a practical earth sign, the placement of the moon in this sign suggests an ability to protect themselves and their own interests. They rarely make a move without first determining that it is safe and that there's something in it for them.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, Taurus moon people have reliable instincts. They are very much tied to the physical world, and they often have a particularly well-developed sense of smell. You smell good? What do you smell right now?
I actually was thinking the other day, I do not have a very good sense of smell.
Well, you're not a Taurus moon then, babe. Facts are facts.
Damn.
Damn.
Astrology is crap.
Astrology is bunk. Lena has a bad sense of smell. All right.
I just feel like I don't, like, I work with people who, like, have very strong senses of smell, and I'm like, I don't smell anything, you know what I mean? Maybe I smell things, but I just, like, when I smell perfumes, I'm like, yeah, that smells like perfume. Yeah. I really have a tough time, like, differentiating notes and stuff, which sucks.
You know, I feel like once we're getting to moon, it's enough that it's like you got colors of it, but you don't have the whole palette, you know?
Oh,
and you
totally,
lost
totally.
The smell, and you lost the smell aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Bummer. Relationships with people born with this position of the moon are often quite enduring. Many moon and Taurus people hang on to their mates, even in the face of serious conflict. Taurus is a fixed sign, so breakups don't happen easily.
Oh, homie, I know that's right. Keep going. That speaks to me rough.
There is a calming, and I have, at least with my Gemini son, the opposite, where I immediately am like, okay, so this is over. You're getting too close and it's freaking me out. There is a calming serenity to them. In fact, it takes a lot to really get to them. However, they do get off-center every once in a while. They are not the most adaptable people when their own routine is interrupted, for example. Though some lunar Taurians might be considered inflexible, most simply have a stubborn streak that keeps them rather resistant to change. Rarely are they spontaneous sorts. Uncomfortable with surprises, these natives value stability. Their needs are strong, but quite simple at the same time. They love the good things in life. The world of the five senses is all important to these natives. Their love of stability and steadiness can make them slaves to routine. However, they are loyal and capable people. Short description. Sweetness itself. Convinced of her ideas and strong-willed, she is foresighted and willful. She knows how to trust. She appreciates all the good things in life. She appreciates and protects nature. Possible issues. Excesses in pleasure. Laziness, sensuality, thoughtlessness.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Excessive sensuality.
What can I say? No, I mean, that speaks to me. I think all of that speaks to me other than the sense of smell thing. But especially, like, I am... like, I hate when plans get changed. That's, like, probably my biggest... I like, you know, I have like self-soothing skills. I can like handle panic most of the time, anxiety. I've really got that, you know, I have coping mechanisms. But the thing that like consistently will give me a panic attack is a plan change where like I know I'm doing something at 7 and actually it doesn't like the people who are blah, 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 it actually... like we're supposed to go out and we don't go out until 8, like I will cry. Like I'm like not changeable in that way. Also, I've never broken up with anyone in my life. Ever. Ever.
You hang on, baby.
It's just like, seriously, when it's like, when it shouldn't happen in relationships where I shouldn't be in, in places where I shouldn't be, I'm just like, I'm so stubborn. I'm like, well, I'm going to make it work. Where it's like, what the fuck? You're 22. You don't have to make anything work. Hell will freeze over before I break up with someone. And that is the tea. So that's actually a terrible part of my Taurus man.
Sure. But also, genuinely, like most things, you know, it's a vice and a virtue.
Yeah.
Because I have the problem that a really good thing's going and then I'm like, no, actually, I'm scared. So this is over. And then months later, I'm like, why did I do that? Like, that was so dumb. Just said, not even like the first problem. It's like the first time I could imagine a hypothetical problem happening at some point. Mm. I'm like, so actually, I think this needs to end. So yes, there are times when it is healthy to break up with people. But also, for a relationship to exist, you both need to be committed to making it through tough times, and you got that skill, baby.
Yeah, that you know. But then in the opposite way, it's like there are times when I have noticed in relationships where I'm like, oh, I don't actually see this happening, and I would have preferred to have cut my losses in that way. And I mean, it's so hard to talk about people like that, but like, you know, but been like, okay, this isn't going to work. I know that. So why would I continue on like this?
So we
can learn from each other, I think.
Every virtue can become a vice, baby.
Hey, don't I know it? Don't I know it?
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.
Okay, now I think we should do the Venus signs. And then because we both have Leo Mars, okay, we should do that one too.
And we read it at the same time. That was a joke. We're not doing
at the same time. Okay, let me find you.
I'm your Venus.
Your Venus sign represents an interest in emotions, values, and exchange and sharing with others. So it's like, I've always been told like Venus is like your relationship sign.
Oh, okay. That's frightening to me, but let's do it.
Okay. You can also cut anything you...
Oh, I don't care. I don't care. Okay, I'll just, cool. At the end, I'll say some of that felt true, but some of it didn't. And then everyone can just take their own assumptions. Yes.
I love that. Okay. Your Venus is in Taurus. So I'm love for Taurus. Taurus is a Venus sign. So that's pretty slay. It's at home there. Okay. Love for Venus in Taurus centers on the physical world and creature comforts. They revel in sensual surroundings. These people project themselves as solid and comfortable. In fact, something about their manner promises they will be satisfying lovers and partners. They will need a certain measure of predictability and dependability in their relationships, even if their sun is in the more spontaneous signs of Aries or Gemini. That's you. Venus and Taurus people can be possessive in love, and they are threatened by fast-paced, high-energy situations in the context of relationships and love. These are sensual partners who require a lot of hands-on expressions of love. Their lovers may complain that Venus and Taurus can get a little too comfortable and settled. It's true that they resist change in their relationships, but even when they seem stuck in a groove, you can always reassure yourself by remembering that they are constant partners. Pleasing Venus and Taurus involves emphasizing your loyalty and their worth to you. You may need to give in to them in love matters because they won't readily given to you. Get physical with them. Do comfortable things. Avoid pushing them into love. Give them plenty of time. You will probably need to cultivate patience if you are in a relationship with a Venus in Taurus. Remember to be simple and natural. Tauruses will appreciate it. Promise them a comfortable, cozy time. A love arrives slowly, without passion, but with force.
No, that all felt pretty.
That felt pretty what?
Accurate. At the beginning, I was, well, there was a section in the middle that I was, where it was like, they're very loyal partners, blah, 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 that I was like, I don't know if that's true. But then at the end, when it specifically was like, you need to be patient because love is going to come very slowly. There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. I love that. Hey.
Okay. Venus is in Leo, baby. Here we go. When Venus and Leo people are in love, they are proud, even boastful. This position of Venus can turn humble Virgo sons or retiring Cancer sons into somewhat demanding lovers. Venus and Leo loves to court and be courted, and they need to feel very special. They are warm, generous, and even grand. Though really quite loyal to their partners, remember that love is the most important thing in Leo's life. They thrive on attention from lovers or love interests. Be prepared for their displays. They will tell you about any advances made on them. Remember, they're just showing off to you, and it's likely harmless. It's a different story if you do the same, however. That's when you'll hear the lion roar, and no doubt you'll want to keep these cats purring. Venus in Leo wants to appear experienced in love, even if they have little or no experience whatsoever. Venus and Leo people have high expectations, but once you know that these expectations revolve only around how much attention you are giving them, you'll see that they are really quite big-hearted about most everything else. They are threatened by a relationship that appears to have settled too much or one that's lost its spark. And that's where we differ, babe. Anyways, back to this. They are also threatened by indifferent or impersonal behavior on your part. Although their needs for physical expression through sex are generally quite strong, their need for love is perhaps even stronger. It is hard for Venus and Leo people to separate love and sex, and even their most erotic fantasies are infused with love and affection. For this reason, few Venus and Leo folk would last long in a relationship that is mostly sexual. On the flip side, they may last longer in a love-only relationship in the absence of satisfying sex, but they are unlikely to feel very satisfied. Pleasing Venus and Leo involves paying loads of attention to them. If you're willing to make... I'm noticing a recurring theme on your chart. I don't know what it is.
It's honestly kind of upsetting. I don't like it.
If you're willing to make only one adjustment in your ways, it should be to remind Leo how wonderful they are. Lena, you are wonderful. Respect and appreciate them always. Put up with their childlike moments and their tall tales. They want to be seen as attractive by you, so avoid at all costs putting them down in this area. They actually lose interest when they perceive the slightest loss of interest in their partner, and you can expect that any letdown will be acted out in a dramatic fashion. Remind them in a gentle way that your emotions count too. If you are feeling a little jealous, let them know. Remember, to Venus and Leo, your small jealousies are affirmations that you find them attractive and expect the rest of the world to as well. Let them decide where to go on a date and let them pay too. When Venus and Leo feels loved and appreciated, they reward you with loyalty, a big sense of fun, and plenty of physical expressions of their love. Short description, sincere, frank, and warm affections. She is full of tenderness, high hopes in love. She likes to live and satisfy her passions to the fullest, can be possessive, and might even seduce for the sake of seducing to prove to herself that she is attractive. Very proud in love and warm-hearted and generous with loved ones.
To me, that reads as, so Leo Venus is the most vapid, self-centered.
No!
But it kind of feels accurate. I mean, like, I am like such a romantic, and I find myself, I've like always said, like, my type is whoever likes me. Mm-hmm. So that feels accurate to me. But Jesus.
Hey.
Wow, that's nuts.
Hey. Are you ready to learn about, are you ready to learn about ourselves together?
Yes.
Mars represents the desire for action and physical energy. Here's Mars and Leo, baby. If there's any, there, it should be word for word the same. If there's a difference, let me know. Yeah. And then we can.
It's like this position of Mars
gives a drive for significance.
Yes.
Booyah, booyah, booyah. Here we go. This position of Mars gives a drive for significance. Mars and Leo individuals possess a strong need to create in some way, like a podcast. And they are determined that their lives have not only meaning, but significant meaning, like a podcast about Glee.
Glee.
This is a particularly vital position of Mars. Passions run high, and so does desire. There is a strong will that gives these natives much staying power. Though Mars and Leo people will enjoy the pleasures of risk-taking, they generally have a strong sense of reason at the end of the day. Mars and Leo people often have well-defined ambitions. Rarely will you find a person with Mars in this position who lives life without a true sense of a calling. They act with authority and power, and their personal magnetism generally endows them with the ability to get what they want, like a podcast about the Fox TV show Glee. This is one of the more sexual positions of Mars. While they are rather easy to arouse, their passion is long-standing. Mars and Leo natives enjoy sex more than most.
If you're our moms, come away.
Turn it off. As long as heavy doses of love and romance are part of the package. In partnership, they demand loyalty and admiration. Impatient with small-mindedness and disloyalty, Mars and Leo natives generally have a strong idealistic streak. They easily get fired up when they feel they've been humiliated. And they defend their high principles with ardor. Mars and Leo natives act with their heart. Their ego is tied up with their actions, so that most anything they do becomes a source of great pride. Though some are self-righteous and quarrelsome, the more sophisticated people with this position are kindly leaders. That felt very accurate to me. No, I, and hey, that's why we work so well together, baby.
Yeah. So we want to make something meaningful.
Mm-hmm. We got strong ambitions and we're dedicated. That's actually very true. Genuinely.
Yeah.
Which I used to talk about this all the time, that it was always frustrating to me, the amount of people I knew that had an amazing idea and then would be like, wouldn't that be cool? And then would leave it there. And it was like, yes, it would be cool to do that thing.
Yeah.
And I like that we have a tendency to do that thing, you know?
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's one of my favorite parts of myself is, you know, I feel like, you know, we've read my chart. I have like a tendency sometimes to be like really stuck into my routine, but my moments of like creativity and passion and ambition, like that's like my favorite thing.
Yeah.
So I
and you love the fact that we like sex more than most.
We do. That is seriously so funny. That really made me giggle.
Oh, what?
I thought you were doing the Doctor Who theme. That was funny.
Oh, how did that go?
Was that fun?
That was fun. And I'm going to read my full
chart. That was fun to me.
Later.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Well, this was really fun. And like, I would say, at least for my chart, like above 90% accuracy.
That's awesome. Honestly, a really good grade.
There was only like a few small things that I, which of course, yeah. You know, life does to you what life does to you, and yeah, it molds totally. You in certain ways. So there's only a few things that I felt like weren't accurate.
Yeah. Like my sense of smell.
Like your sense of smell.
Yeah.
They don't call you Lena the Bloodhound.
That's so funny. I don't think astrology has a leg to stand on anymore. I'm sorry.
That's also so weird. Everything else was like mental and emotional. Yeah. It would be like, they also are tall. Like this one just random kind of physical attribute. Very bizarre.
Yeah. I get what it's trying to say, because that was the moon in Taurus. And it's just saying that they're like in touch with their five senses.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which like, yeah. The smell
with
though.
Four of them.
That must just be a me thing. I mean, things smell good to me. I just don't know. I mean, I don't have really like a train. I'm not a bloodhound.
Yeah. Cops are not using you to find stuff. That's something I know. They're not. See you here next week when we talk about, what are those episodes? Vitamin D, the Boys versus Girls Mash Off episodes. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about Vitamin D, season one. We're talking about season two, mm-hmm. Never Been Kissed. Maybe you heard of it. We're talking about season three, Mash Off. We're talking about season four, Boys, open parentheses, and Girls, close parentheses, on film. And then the poor newbies in season six never even got one. So just those four.
If you have thoughts on our shit, if you want to comment on Glee, astrology, the tune, let us know. We're at Recovering Gleek at Agatha All Along, Aubrey Plaza.
If you want to start a letter writing campaign to Jack Schaefer that she needs to put Emma Caulfield and Agatha All Along more.
Yeah, more.
Email us at recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Just somebody give her flowers for fuck's sake.
Golly, she carried Buffy on her back for years.
On her back.
Which is hilarious because no, she did not. She is my favorite character.
No, she did not. Like, she is a great part of that
but
great
like
show.
Sarah Michelle Gellar was carrying that thing on her back. But
it's I literally, when you said that, my heart like fell out of my booty hole because I was like, don't say that about Sarah.
It was a joke because Sarah Michelle Gellar was giving us like three act plays, doing fight choreo, doing every emotion possible. And then Emma Caulfield would just come on and say a couple zingers, not to undermine her talents in that show. Emma Caulfield kills it in that show. But the show was on Sarah Michelle's back for sure.
It's called Buffy the Vampire Slayer for a reason.
It's not called Anya the Vengeance Demon.
You are a great part. Hey, I would watch that show though.
If anyone's looking to green light Anya the Vengeance Demon, I will watch it.
Oh, I'll watch it. We can write it.
Hey,
we can be her.
No, I will literally, we're writing this to give Emma Caulfield a role.
Of course.
We're writing it to give her work. About Time, starring Rachel McAdams. All right. Uh-huh. Love you all. Have a great week. See you here next Wednesday.
Here's a hangout kiss on your hangout forehead if you accept it. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.